You're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.com, bringing you the freshest radio in Brooklyn since 2009. Hear directly from chefs to farmers, artists to architects, authors to brewers, and everyone in between. Check out all of our shows on our website or by searching Heritage Radio Network in the iTunes Store.
Hi, this is Moby, and you're listening to the Heritage Radio Network.
The following program has been brought to you by Cane Vineyard and Winery. Cane Vineyard and Winery supports Heritage Radio and the growing movement to change how Americans eat and how we think about our planet. For more information, visit www.cane5.com.
Welcome to Hot Grease. I'm your host, Nicole Taylor. This Heritage Radio Network program is brought to you by Cane Vineyards. Every week on Hot Grease, we bring people back to what's great in food, culinary traditions, cooking at home, knowing your farmer, or even growing your own food. I spotlight good food fighters and the culture of the good food movement, from chefs to tastemakers to moms on a budget. Today, we'll be talking wildly affordable organic and type and tell the back to school edition. If you're listening live to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network, we have a call-in number, folks. Our number here at the studio is 718-497-2128. For some of you folks, the kids have gone back to school or you're preparing for the crisp routine of fall. On the phone to talk good cooking is Linda Watson. Linda is the author of Wildly Affordable Organic. Linda, welcome to Hot Grease.
Great pleasure to be here, Nicole. Thank you.
First question, Linda, is organic the code word for expensive?
You know, so many people think it is, but it is not. It can be so affordable. I want to point your listeners to a study that came out just 2 weeks ago saying it costs $380 to get enough potassium for the year. That's if you eat the same terrible way you always have. Eat a banana, you can do it organic for $124 a year. It's affordable.
Glad you referenced that. That's a great thing to reference. So, Linda, tell us about the inspiration for your experiment with thrifty, delicious food.
Well, Nicole, I was in politics for a while and working hard to get good people elected, and I did, and we're really happy with them, but they weren't moving fast enough. And I thought, what can I do to make a difference? And I thought, you know, if I could get people to eat a pot of beans every week, it would make the world a better place. People would have more money to do what they want. They'd be healthier. We could slow global warming, reduce childhood obesity, and we would eat some awesome food. So that's what I got started on.
So you were inspired by Michael Pollan and the food stamp challenge to your own challenge. How did you come to your challenge of eating $5 or spending $5 a day on a meal?
Right. It started with that food stamp challenge, and that was originally, it was a great idea by anti-hunger activists who said, let's have policymakers eat on what the average food stamp person gets per meal. That's a dollar a meal. So my husband and I tried that for a week, and then we found out that, in fact, in North Carolina, you get up to $1.53 if you got, you know, all that was available, $1.53. So we did that. We tried various experiments for 3.5 months, and what we found out was if you'll cook from scratch and cook going to the inside of the store, unlike what Michael Pollan says, go in there, get those dried beans, get the rice, get the tea, all sorts of really wonderful things there. You can afford to cook like it matters.
And when you
found that, go ahead.
You did $5 a day. You eventually, in creating your book, you went up a little bit from $153 to $5 a day, correct?
Well, actually, I went down because I started off on that. The dollar a meal was a dollar a meal, so that's $3 a day. That's the average. But it turns out that what a food stamp recipient gets in my state, North Carolina, is $5.43 a day. So even my organic plan right now is less than that.
Wow.
And I track two sorts of prices, too. So I track organic. That's $5 per day per person, lower than my original challenge. And my thrifty plan is $3.21 a day. So you do what you can. You don't have to go all organic, but it's more affordable than most people think.
I'm very curious about your first shopping experience on this new tight budget. Do you remember the first time you went into the market to purchase your food?
I will never forget that, Nicole. I had just gone back to take a job that I had had before, so it was terrific. I'd worked my regular, you know, 9-10 hour day, then went to my nearest grocery store on the way home, because that's what you would do if you didn't have a lot of money. It took me 2 hours to buy $42 worth of groceries.
Wow.
I thought it would be so easy. I started off, like I said, in those center aisles where food really is affordable. Went over to dairy, went way over my budget. And then I had to go back and forth trying to decide, well, if I put this cheese back, what does that mean to the meal I had planned? If I don't have olive oil and I change it to cheaper corn oil, what does that mean? I even got really annoyed with this cute couple. They were arguing, oh, honey, go ahead and buy two. No, no, baby, one's plenty for us. Oh, go ahead and buy two. And I thought, here I want to smack them. And this is the first time this has happened to me. I could see how it could really be hard if this was what you had to do all the time.
So you mentioned driving to your closest supermarket. My next question is deciding where to shop. What do you suggest to a family who wants to find affordable organic food? Where should they start?
Well, the first place to start is your local farmer's market. If you're lucky enough to have one there, you'll be able to get the best prices and the most fresh produce. So I would go there and make sure you know what they have available. Then check out some stores that you might not think you would check out. Some of those higher-end grocery stores, there's one that many people call Whole Paycheck. I tell you what, if you buy the right things, it's incredibly affordable. Their bulk spices, bulk beans, store brands are very affordable. And there's similar stores across the country that are like that. Also, check out your ethnic stores. Great bargains there.
Yeah, I'm thinking, I know that you live in Durham, North Carolina. I'm from actually a small town in Georgia, Athens. And there isn't a Whole Foods there. There's a very, very small health food store. So I guess what I'm hearing you say is go to the farmer's market first?
Go to the farmer's market first. And because you are not paying for transportation, you're not paying for refrigeration, buy in season. You'll automatically be buying in season because that's what the farmers have. And you're supporting your local community, too. That's part of what I say with the Cook for Good plan, the whole wildly affordable organic idea. You're going to save money. You're going to eat delicious food. But you're making a difference. And part of that difference is supporting your local community economically.
One of the things I love, and you just mentioned a little bit that I forgot about it, and I claim to be a person that can shop affordably, wildly affordably, and buy organic food, but ethnic food stores. Can you talk just a little bit more about spices and bulk stuff in ethnic food stores?
You know, the trick is you go where people buy a lot of what you're interested in. So I'm really lucky in this area. We have a huge Indian population and, you know, East Asian Indian population. So they eat a lot of very interesting beans and a lot of great rice. I can go buy a 10-pound bag of rice for almost nothing. Now, sometimes it's harder to find organic food there, but if you choose wisely, that can help you mix up your food that you're getting and lower your prices in some places so that maybe you can afford to go organic in the meat and dairy departments where it's really so vital.
Exactly. Linda, we're going to take a short break. Folks, keep listening. We're going to come back with more widely affordable organic.
I'd rather give up instead. Seem like I'm better off dead.
Blackberry molasses.
Oh, blackberry molasses.
It'll never change.
You gotta keep pushing on. The sun or rain all the time. There's gonna be some heartache and pain.
Heartache and pain.
Don't tell show entirely about cheese? Take a listen.
Well, I know this is it's horrible to do visual things on the radio, but if you were all sitting in the studio, you would see this wheel from late May is quite pale in color. It's it's a little bit, like a milkier, sort of a very soft yellow. And then the wheel from late June is quite golden and intense looking. It's a really deep, deep yellow. What causes that difference?
Well, I'm quite sure it's the grass. It's the keratin in the grass. And that's giving it that yellow color, not fat, but definitely coming from the pasture. Our animals are fed hay through the winter now. We don't use fermented feed because that won't work with our cheese. Mm-hmm. But so they're essentially grass-fed year-round with grain supplements.
If you like what you hear, Cutting the Curd airs every Monday at 4:30 p.m. on Heritage Radio Network. Make sure to subscribe to the podcast or check it out in our archives.
Welcome back to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. You can check out our show archives or program schedule on heritageradionetwork.com. We're chatting with Linda Watson, founder of Cook for Good and author of Widely Affordable Organic. Eat fabulous food, get healthy, and save the planet, all on $5 or less. Linda, you have this great chart in your book. I call it Cut Corners or Splurge. So I want to play this really quick game with some of our listeners who are tuning in now. I'm going to give you the product, and you're going to tell me if we should splurge or cut corners. Eggs.
Now, you want me to say, or you want the listeners to say?
So you can tell us, is that something that we should cut corners?
Eggs come from chickens. You want chickens that are well-fed and happy. Splurge on those eggs.
Okay, splurge. Okay. Let me see a few other ones. Some that I'm probably was surprised on, because I tend to splurge on this one. Pasta.
I think you can scrimp on your pasta. One of my favorites is Barilla Plus. It's high protein, really good for you, doesn't cost much at all.
Fruit you can't peel.
Go ahead and splurge on that. You want to, if you're going to eat the whole thing, don't have any pesticides on it.
Coffee.
Splurge on coffee. Bad coffee is terrible.
Yeah, it really is.
There's two kinds of coffee plants, and you'll get the cheap coffee comes from the cheap plant. But tea you can scrimp on, and that's why on my $5 a day plan and Wildly Affordable Organic, we're drinking tea.
Yeah, so folks, if you're listening, if you have a book, if you don't have the book, this table is on page 21 under planning strategies. So cooking plans, Linda. I asked people on social media today about meal planning. It seems that a ton of people improv. Is this the best way to go while eating affordable organic food?
You know, it's really not, and it's not a way to keep your stress down either. I love improv. I've taken some improv classes, and it's a lot of fun, really, to just fling open your refrigerator, and if you've got food in there, decide what to eat. But if you want to keep that food budget down, and if you want to keep the little people from tugging at your apron strings when you get home from work, and just that stress of what to eat, if you'll just sketch out what you'll be eating for 3 days or 5 days, you'll be so far ahead. You'll be able to shop well, and you'll be able to dovetail your recipes together. I cook, for example, 2 pounds of beans at once, and then I make that into 3 recipes. I know that it's going to serve me for a week, and I can go ahead and freeze some of it, so I always know what I can pull out, what I can eat, and I can focus on things that are more important in my life.
So it seems my problem, listening to you and after reading the book, I plan meals, and I made a comment today, I've actually been planning meals and for about 8 years now, but I don't do exactly what you just explained. I'm not smart enough to be able to cook something for the next day beyond leftovers. So I guess what I'm hearing you say is to really make this organic living affordable, we should be doing both.
Well, it helps. You know, you could certainly if you will just cook a pot of beans every week and eat off of that, freeze what you're not going to eat, you're way ahead of the pack. But if you don't want to do the planning, take advantage of what I wrote in Wildly Affordable Organic. I've got 4 seasonal cooking plans there, 31-day menus. I tell people, if you don't know what to eat for dinner, eat what Linda's going to eat. Takes the worry out of your life.
Your chapter shopping strategies is definitely, to me, the heart and soul of the book, or more so what I find very important for my life. And some of the topics that you've covered in here are the great grated cheese myth, powdered milk, don't ship cold air and don't ship water. What do you mean by the don't ship cold air and don't ship water?
Well, let's just start with the don't ship water. You know, water comes out of your tap pretty much free, and in many places it's excellent water. So if you've got water that you can drink, go ahead and drink that. Don't pay the extra money and the gasoline, the environmental cost, to ship that water across the country. Go ahead, brew your own tea. You can make, for 50 cents, you can make about $7 worth of bottled tea. So buy 50 cents worth of tea bags, take 3 minutes, brew that. That's like earning $75 an hour. It's a great way to add to your income. Just go ahead and cook a little bit at home. Same thing with beans. Why pay to have those beans cooked somewhere else, put it in a can and labeled and shipped with all that water in them, when you can cook dried beans at home? You'll save 75% on your grocery bill if you'll just cook dried beans. Do it in a crock pot. You don't even need to soak them.
So, Linda, let's talk fall menus and recipes. Correct me if I'm wrong, and I think I read, and I didn't read all of the recipes, but I definitely read the book. This is basically a vegetarian, not in your face vegetarian, but most of your tips and your recipes and your menus are for non-meat eaters or people who choose not to eat meat.
What? I love what you said about not in your face vegetarian. And what I like, I don't buy or cook meat. I'm a flexitarian. So if I went over to your house and you were having meatloaf, I'd say, Nicole, thanks for having me over for dinner. And we would just enjoy it.
I like you said in the book, you said rude or ribs.
That's right. I'll take the ribs rather than being rude. But, you know, I don't buy it. I don't think it's important. So this is not a book for vegetarians. It's a book for people who love good food, including vegetarians. And if people want to add some meat to these recipes, it's really easy to do that. I don't need to tell your listeners how to broil a chicken or you know, put some pepperoni on the pizza. It's easy to stir a little ground turkey into my chili or whatnot. You can do that, and you can still do that and keep it under $5 a meal. So the trick is, for readers who want to add meat to this, toss out some of the dairy that I'm using, replace that with some inexpensive low-fat meat, and you'll be still in the same budget range. I just think for environmental and other reasons, I don't choose to eat meat, but if you'll just lower back on a little bit, I'm perfectly happy with that.
Linda, the author of Wildly Affordable Organic, thank you so much for coming on Hot Grease. Tell our listeners, if they want to reach you, your Twitter handle, Facebook, and all that good stuff.
Oh, thank you so much, Nicole. My website, with a free recipe every week, sign up for that newsletter, cookforgood.com, and I'm Cook for Good on Facebook and Twitter. So follow that hashtag, follow it, and thanks so much for having me on. I love talking with you about Wildly Affordable Organic.
Thank you so much, Linda. Have a great week.
You too. Thanks, Nicole. Bye-bye.
One step at a time. Look at me, I'm trying.
Welcome back to Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Nicole Taylor. Hot Grease is produced and engineered by Jack Inslee and Carlos Aguero. This program is being sponsored by Cane Vineyards. Let me give a Southern girl's hug to Roberta's Restaurant, located at 261 Moore Street in Brooklyn, New York. The location of two sustainable shipping containers known as Heritage Radio Network. Remember show and tell in grade school? Here on Hot Grease, we have the grown-up version, type and tell. In this segment, we shout out the latest food discovery. On the phone, we have Ramin Gershram. Ramin's latest book is Stir It Up, published by Scholastic Books. Stir It Up is a novel for middle grade readers. Ramin, welcome back to Hot Grease.
Hey, Nicole. Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
So tell us all about the main character in Stir It Up.
So the main character in the book is a 13-year-old girl named Anjali Krishnan, and she lives in the real neighborhood of Richmond Hill, Queens, which any of your listeners, if they've been to, know that it's a heavily Indo-Caribbean neighborhood. It's where you would go if you want to have the best, you know, curry and roti and all the kind of things that, you know, the Trinidad and Guyana are really known for. And she wants to be, Anjali wants to be sort of the youngest celebrity chef on Food Network. She's a passionate foodie. She spends her allowance on food cookbooks. She watches all of Food Network. And she gets a chance to do just that in the book. But her parents give her a little bit of a hard time about it. So she has to kind of sneak to get her dream realized.
Possibilities is the name of a chapter in your book.
Yes.
And so I wanted to ask you, what do you want young readers to walk away after reading Stir It Up? What do you want them to walk away with?
Well, the first thing I really want them to walk away with is to understand that they need to have a dream. It's really important to have something to work for, to have a goal for, and to be passionate about. But the best way to realize a dream is to involve your family, involve your parents, involve your friends, to really be open about it, because other people can help you, and you'll find that there are a lot of people out there who are willing to help. And the other thing that I really want kids to understand is that food is not just about eating. And I know there are so many kid cooks and kid chefs who are just like Anjali. They love to watch food television. They cook, and they're not making ants on a log or just, you know, simple cookie recipes. They're really cooking. And I want them to know that, first of all, I know that they're out there. And second of all, what I want them to know is what they cook is not just about how yum. Every meal has a story. And when they cook, it's their story, and they have to keep trucking and keep going with it.
I love how in the book, Anjali is like texting, and there are very vivid references to like reality TV, mm-hmm. New York City streets and landmarks and Stuyvesant High School.
Yeah. My alma mater, by the way.
Ah, that's why that's in there. There's a great picture of New York City and Queens and Anjali's life in the book.
Thank you. Yes, it's really important to me that the places in the book be real places, because not only those individuals who either live in those areas or are dealings with those areas recognize them and feel a sense of reality and understanding around them, but if the place is real and the story is real, I think people around the country and around the world can resonate with it, because that authenticity comes out, I hope.
It does. Let's talk cameos in the book. I was so excited to see Daisy Martinez in the book. Tell some of our listeners who may not know who Daisy Martinez is, but she is in the book and she's referenced as her real self.
Yes, yeah. Daisy Martinez is, for me, a role model. She has been a host on Food Network on the show Viva Daisy and PBS Daisy Cooks. And she is just so inspirational. She's of Puerto Rican descent. She's from Brooklyn. And she really is not only a great cook, but she's a role model. You'll never meet somebody more generous with her time, with her spirit. We really became friends when I did a fundraiser for the World Food Program after the Haitian earthquake. And we had been professional acquaintances, but when I asked Daisy for help, she said, yes, how much, how long, I'm there. And when I first saw her years ago on PBS, I was walking from one room in my home to the other, past the television, and I saw her, and I literally stopped what I was doing and sat down to watch her, because she's a phenomenal cook, she's a dynamic person, and I really wanted to give her props, because just like she's a role model for me, she's a role model for the main character in this book, and is a great role model for so many young people out there.
Speaking of role models and people seeing themselves and being able to participate in something bigger than maybe just cooking with their parents, you have a very exciting contest going on to support your first novel, Stir It Up. Tell us a little bit about the contest.
So what we are going to do is, starting in September, if you go to the website, stiritupbook.com, we're going to start a video contest where we're asking kid chefs age 10 to 14 to send us, and there's an upload form, a video of themselves cooking their best recipe. And we're going to choose finalists and then sort of have a vote off from the public. And there's a variety of prizes, including a class at Institute of Culinary Education, which is one of the places in the book, one of the real places in the book. Another prize is, five winners will get a signed copy of the book. And the grand prize will be lunch with Daisy Martinez and myself someplace in New York City. So basically, we're just, taking inspiration from the book, where, in fact, Anjali submits a video of herself to Food Network to be considered for a reality cooking show, and we're asking kid chefs to do the same.
So for folks who are listening, this is our back-to-school edition of Type and Tell. One more time, the website for information about Stir It Up and to enter the contest?
Yes, it's stiritupbook.com.
And lastly, Ramin, I have to ask you, your dedication to Sophie Lolly. It was so sweet. So is that your daughter?
Yes, Sophie Lolly is my daughter.
So is she an inspiring chef?
She is. She is. She's always in the kitchen with me. She's only 5 and a half, and she can tell you the recipe for sugar cookies off the top of her head, of course. But her favorite recipe is coconut bread, which is also in Stir It Up. But she's not only inspirational to me in terms of her desire to cook, but, I've learned, just like I did with my dad, cooking with him, how much togetherness being in the kitchen really fosters. So, yeah, she really is my best sous chef.
Ramin, congratulations on your first novel. Not your first written stuff, but your first novel. It is a fantastic book. Folks, go pick it up. Type and tell everyone about Stir It Up. Have a great week, Ramin.
Thank you, Nicole. Thanks for having me.
Listeners, thank you again for tuning in to Hot Grease. You can join me here live every Monday at 3:30. Until then, always take the road less traveled.
My own beliefs are in my song. The butcher, the banker, the drummer, and then makes no difference what group I'm in. I am everyday people.
Every spring at the end of kidding season, goat dairies across the country are faced with the question of what to do with their male bucklings. Because on a dairy farm, there's no role for a male. Often, the most economical thing for these farmers to do is to cull the animals at birth or ship them off to the commodity market. Heritage Foods USA is embarking on a new project, No Goat Left Behind, looking to step in and fill this niche by creating a marketplace for these male bucklings. Visit us at www.heritagefoodsusa.com to learn more and to reserve your goat this coming October.